the American Idol. I almost did the Alex Jones show there. It's been a long week, a very, very long week. We're excited you're jumping on board with us. Today we've got a lot happening in the third hour of the program. Buckle up, folks. In the next segment, I'll be joined by two doctors. We've got a lot to talk about with them. Dr. James Thorpe will be joining the program as well. And he's a board-certified OBGYN. And we'll also be joined by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny as well. Because we got a lot to talk about with Tenpenny, I should say, in regards to measles. There's the new push. They're like, oh, you got to vaccinate everyone because it's measles outbreaks. We'll ask her about that. There's a lot there. And I think it's important for us to dive into that. We'll also be talking with Dr. Thorpe about this new scientist who are declaring that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has, it's causing blood clots, dangerous blood clots. Yeah, we've been telling you about that for 6 years now? Yeah. But they're now talking about it, of course, because, on InfoWars news years ago, now the rest of the world's just catching up with us. I don't even understand how we can sit here and pretend like these people haven't known about this. It's been going on forever. But Dr. Thorpe will be joining us to discuss just that. So that's the exciting part. But I also want to focus on some other things as well. Now, as many of you guys know, yesterday I was very critical because I know a lot of people think that the Trump administration's bowing out in Minnesota because Tom Homan did say they're pulling back federal agents there. In clip 5, I want to play this for you guys because he's talking about the drop down. And I want you to listen in specifically as to why he's talking about that. Take a listen.
Even though we're drawing down resources, we still want to have hundreds of special agents here drawn down on the fraud here from the Somali community and others. Those fraud investigations are going to continue until they're done. We're going to hold people responsible. We're also got investigators here doing the church investigation, to include Don Lemon. We're not walking away from anything. We've achieved what we came here for. This is like any other surge operation. L.A., it ended. Los Angeles, it ended. Charlotte, it ended. New Orleans, it ended. This is ending the surge, but we're not going away. And let me say this. Over 800 flights a day land in St. Paul, Minnesota. If we need to come back, we'll come back.
So keep that in mind, folks. Here's what's going on, I think, behind the scenes. And this is me just kind of speculating here. There's been several people who've reached out to me from DHS over the last few weeks. And one of their greatest regrets was being so public about the raids that were going on throughout Minneapolis and throughout Minnesota. And what it resulted in is a lot of individuals picking up and leaving and fleeing the area. A lot of violent criminals, because they knew that ICE was in town and they were probably going to get scooped up in all of this. It also led to these left-wing groups going out there and sending people from all around the country to protest, to follow ICE, to harass them. And so it's made for their job to be significantly difficult. What I see this all meaning, I'm not going to say 100% this is what I think is happening again, because this is speculation rather than me issuing a report. I do believe that the administration is aware of what's happening on the ground and that they need to shift away the attention so they could go back over there and start capturing these people. But so far, they've grabbed up about 4,000 illegal aliens. And a lot of these individuals, again, are like rapists, murderers, the worst of the worst. And I continue to get the emails and share with you guys when I do get those emails. But there's just so many illegal aliens that are being picked up in all of this that are violent criminals. And so that's what I think is actually happening here. I think they're trying to deflect the attention from specifically Minneapolis. Now, we won't know if that conspiracy is true or not until we actually start seeing some more numbers. But I know they're also picking up operations in other places throughout the country. And I think it's probably for the best not to say those cities, not to say the names, because a lot of them are blue states and blue cities. And so they do their very best to push back to make sure that local law enforcement is not working with ICE, but also most importantly, to bring those agitators to those areas and trying to make it as difficult as possible to commit to these mass deportations. So folks, I won't say it's a massive, massive white flag that's being thrown by the Trump administration, but yes, listening to it, it's obviously very disappointing, but I'm hoping there's some type of strategy behind all of this. And it's not just we're giving in to these left-wing agitators, of course. That would be extremely disappointing. All right, folks, buckle up. Third hour of the show, a lot to discuss in a bit. Kelsey Sharon is also joining the program as well. So we got a lot to discuss. Don't go anywhere on The American Journal.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Joining us to discuss this next big story in just a bit is going to be Dr. James Thorpe. And we're excited that he's joining us today because it's a bombshell report. And I say that sarcastically, of course. But the rest of the world is starting to catch on what doctors like Dr. James Thorpe and others and myself have been trying to tell you for a while now. And that's that these COVID jabs are causing blood clots. And we were told, oh, no, that's not true. But now there are a group of scientists that have identified the cause of the, and they're saying, this is their words, not mine, the rare but dangerous blood clotting that came about with a Johnson & Johnson jab. Now, as many of you guys know, this was one that was pulled off the market. But we weren't allowed to talk about any of this. Again, this new study, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which was just recently published on February 11th, details just that. Now, again, they want to keep highlighting and they keep driving this point home that this is extremely rare. But again, I mean, we kept hearing these reports as soon as they started putting out these jabs, specifically the Johnson & Johnson one, that it was causing blood clots. Joining me to discuss about how these medical journals, a lot of them are just corrupt and their research is mostly junk, is Dr. James Thorpe. He is a board-certified OBGYN, and it is an honor to have him back on the program. Doctor, I want to thank you for being here. I got a good laugh when I saw this article. Obviously, it's a tragedy that people had to endure all of this, but we've been talking about this for years now. This isn't anything new, although this was just published earlier this week. I mean, we've known that the Johnson & Johnson jab and other jabs have been causing blood clots. What do you make of this report?
Well, it's very interesting. Jingjing Wang and colleagues, there's about 9 or 10 of them. They're all internationals from not in North America, to my knowledge. And so the article is interesting. But to make it clear to your audience, This is only one of the rare forms of blood clot compared with the other massive increase in blood clots with the vaccines. Mm. This is just one rare segment, and it's called vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia. And I don't believe any of the nonsense in this captured New England Journal of Medicine, which is a corrupt kleptocratic journal that maybe we can talk about later, as are many of the rest of them. But this is not rare. Listen, and Brianna, and thank you for having me on. I know personally in the state of Florida, two individuals with vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia in Florida in 2021. One of them was an OBGYN physician in South Florida, and the other one is Cody Hudson. So they're just in Florida. So this nonsense about this rare VITT, it's nonsense. It's not rare. If I know two of them in the state of Florida and I'm an OBGYN doc, no. This is a separate, really minor contribution to the other clots that are massively killing and injuring the people from all the vaccines.
Yeah. And this is what's so concerning about all of this. And I want to do a little bit of a deep dive and get your take on all of this. Because like you said, the journals itself, and this is just a general overview of a lot of these medical journals. You just kind of detailed about how they're corrupt. And I kind of want to do a deep dive into all of this. I think this is really important for folks to understand. They always sound like these credible sources. And for folks who are not a doctor, when you hear about these studies, you think, okay, this is credible. This is something I could trust. But there's a lot behind the scenes that the American people need to know. So kind of break that down for us and give us some overview.
Yeah. So, Brianna, this has been going on for a century. It's accelerated in the last five decades. But listen, I'll quote a great review from May 7th, 2025 by Dr. Wojak in his writings. But and there's many more. But Wojak quotes, has a picture of six editors-in-chiefs of the major journals, New England Journal of Medicine, Lancet, and British Medical Journal, right? They are whistleblowers. They themselves are editors-in-chief and saying that it's terminally corrupted, that these are the three most prominent medical journals in the world, Brianna, and their own internal staff, their chief editors. There they are. Look at their pictures on the screen. Look at their quotes. Terminally corrupted and captured by their mouthpieces for the pharmaceutical industries and the medical industrial, the medical manufacturing device industries. So garbage in and garbage out. So this is not the only one. So it's not only the editors themselves that have come out and done a mea culpa and blown the whistle, but listen, there's a study in 2017 by Liu and colleagues that clearly show that the editors receive large amounts of monies from the pharmaceutical companies, the editors themselves, right? So, and then there's this incredible article that was published in JAMA, last name Nguyen, Nguyen, from October 10th, 2024. And this is astounding. So the independent reviewers of the four most prominent medical journals in the world, JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine, BMJ, and Lancet. BMJ is British Medical Journal. So in just 3 years, Brianna, 2020, 2021, and 2022, in just the United States of America, the reviewers, the quote, supposed to be independent reviewers, received $1.06 billion. $1.06 billion. So they have the system captured from every which way. So the medical journals are publishing garbage. Anything that has to do with a pharmaceutical product or a medical device, it's ghostwritten and paid off. The editors are paid off. The peer reviewer that's supposed to be independent are paid off. And it's published. And that's how they get their money. So it's fraud. And remember, for our listeners here, when you go on Grok and you go on AI or ChatGPT, they're only going to draw from these corrupted journals. That's the way AI works. So you can't trust anything on AI when you go on and do a medical search. Now, one few exceptions might be, okay, medical issues that don't have anything to do with a medical device or with a pharmaceutical drug.
So now here's my question. How do we fix these issues? Because obviously, you know, we do rely on these medical journals to give us the truth. And if they're not doing so, this has got to be an issue that we could fix. So how do we go about that?
You're asking, how can we fix that? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fixable. I think you need to rely on authors and on publications. There are some journals that are not corrupted, but it's very dangerous. It's all of the medical centers in the United States of America. The vast majority of them are also captured, and they publish or perish. So they have to publish this stuff. I think that, you know, I would go to Substacks, where, like Dr. Wojak's Substack, mm-hmm. where he's not going to publish stuff that gains him money and that is perverted. Or, you know, Dr. Peter McCullough, and his Substack, John Leake and his writings. There's so many physicians that have broken away. There are some medical journals that I've published in that that do not seem to be captured, will do peer reviewing and will publish my work, Dr. McCullough's work, and others.
Perfect. Well, that gives us a resource that we can all utilize at home, and we look forward to that. Yeah, it's kind of a struggle to kind of sift through all of this and figure out what's the corruption, is this a neutral source? And so this is definitely useful for us. I want to get to this before we go, though, because this is really important, too. You sent this over to us, and it's a Twitter thread regarding Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. Our audience is very familiar with the fact that Bill Gates, as he continues to distance himself or try to distance himself from Epstein, continues to say that he was meeting with Epstein for financial reasons so they could fund science and the health incentives that he was trying to go out there, or the health efforts that he was trying to go out there and push for on a global scale. So he claims that he was just fishing for donations. But I mean, I didn't believe that, right? When you just think about the logic behind here, one of the richest men in the world is asking Jeffrey Epstein for money to fund his donations or to look for donations. It didn't make any sense. But this thread kind of walks you through a little bit about what was happening behind the scenes and the allegations they're outlining. Walk us through what you find most concerning about the latest revelations that we're finding out about Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Gates.
Yes. So, Brianna, I've described six tiers of publication bias or medical journal corruption, and this is number one. What we're finding out, which was just released in the Epstein files, is they were influencing ResearchGate. ResearchGate has been what they claim to be an independent source of medical journals. So this is like the medical journals that own the companies that own vast numbers of medical journals, like Elsevier and others. So they're actually way above controlling them. Not only are they harvesting firsthand data for their own benefit by being and owning and getting and intertangled with ResearchGate, but more concerningly is what they're doing is putting pressure on those individuals in ResearchGate or the journals or whatever that will also exclude publications or include publications to push their narratives. Like specifically, what would Gates be wanting to push? I mean, what do you, obviously, right? Vaccines. So he's a eugenicist. You know, he wants the population reduced. As he said in his TED talk, we can do it with vaccines.
Yeah.
So that's just a utterly catastrophic additional top tier of publication bias, and why the medical journals, by and large, are garbage.
Yeah. Well, it's frustrating, but we're sifting through it, and we're glad we have you on our side to tell us what we can believe and what we can't. Well, we shouldn't believe at all. Dr. James Thorpe, thank you for joining the program as always. It's an honor to have you on the show, and our audience greatly appreciates the information that you bring to us every day. So thank you so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you, and thank you for having me on, Brianna.
God bless you, and it's always a pleasure, my friend. Folks, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about measles. Yeah, this is what you want to talk about on a Friday morning. There seems to be this new push for the vaccines, mainly citing the measles outbreaks that are popping up all across the country. Dr. Oz is weighing in on just that in clip one. Take a listen.
Ask you about a record surge in measles in the United States. South Carolina, for example, is currently reporting 800 cases. It's the worst outbreak since measles was declared eradicated more than three decades ago. Is this a consequence of the administration undermining support or advocacy for measles and other vaccines?
I don't believe so. We've advocated for measles vaccines all along. Secretary Kennedy's been at the very front of this.
Oh,
movement.
Come on.
No, he is. When the first outbreak happened in Texas, he said, get your vaccines for measles, because that's an example of an ailment that you should get vaccinated against. What happened with the core schedule that was released in the beginning of last month was to say, listen, we look at what happened in Europe. In Europe, if you give people 80 different vaccine doses to take. People start.
But I'm specifically talking about measles here. I mean, you talked about RFK Jr., the group Children's Health Defense that he founded and ran up until 3 years ago, posted on X, despite the media's scare tactics, there's no reason to fear measles. Should people fear measles?
Oh, for sure. And we actually are pretty aggressive at CMS. We fund any vaccine you want to take. There will never be a barrier to Americans get access to the measles vaccine.
And, as a doctor, your message to people about the measles vaccine
take the vaccine, please. We have a solution for a problem. Not all illnesses are equally dangerous and not all people are equally susceptible to those illnesses. But measles is one you should get your vaccine.
All right. Joining me to discuss just that is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She's joining the show today to detail her reaction to Dr. Oz and many others pushing for those to get the measles jabs. Dr. Tenpenny, I want to thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. I think this is a very fascinating push that we have going on right now. We have members of this administration telling the American people to get the measles vaccine. Now, obviously, there's a lot of hesitancy given what we've seen during the COVID pandemic, where they were pushing vaccines and telling people to get these vaccines when they weren't safe, when they weren't even effective. But now we're talking measles here. So do you agree with Dr. Oz's assessment on all of this? And what would you like to see done?
Well, I don't agree with the assessment. I think that, again, this is something that should be individualized. And I don't understand when in time measles became a hysteria, because back before the measles vaccine came out in 1963, measles was treated just like a flu, and that kids stayed home from school and they thought of it as a holiday. It was only years and years ago, like hundreds of years ago, that measles was a very serious infection, that they eventually boiled it down to it being a nutritional deficiency, primarily with vitamin A. That children who were born into poverty conditions that didn't have good nutrition, that they were depleted with vitamin A from their diet, first of all. And second of all, back in those days, you didn't have a supplement of vitamin A that you could give kids while they were actively having measles. Because what measles does, what the measles virus does, is it depletes vitamin A from your system. And even the World Health Organization knows this and talks about it. So measles became a hysteria, I think, more recently, actually since 1963, when the vaccine was released. The 2 years, the year before the measles vaccine was released, the death rate from measles was 2 in 1 million. And that is CDC data that I have the actual original documents for that can prove that. So the death rate was extraordinarily low before we even had a vaccine. And so now it's become a what about measles? Well, measles is, what is measles? It's a viral infection that is a fever, a cough, a rash, sometimes some diarrhea. Complications of measles can be pneumonia. And that is where one of giving vitamin A to kids who are actively having measles can really, really be an adjunctive treatment that cuts down the risk of complications like pneumonia, diarrhea, things like that. And you can give vitamin A dosages up to 50,000 IUs a day, even in children under 6 months of age. That's a typical dosing treatment, 50,000 units a day. For 2 days, children are under 6 months. If they're between 6 months and a year, it's 100,000 units of vitamin A a day for 2 days. And older than that, it's 200,000 units of vitamin A a day for 2 days. And that will help the body to rid that virus. It's not an antiviral. It doesn't work that way. So when Dr. Oz says, oh, yes, everyone should be fearful of measles, I think people need to know what measles is and they know how to appropriately treat it. I know Dr. Oz very well. I've known him for many, many years on a personal level. He's an adult physician. He's a cardiovascular surgeon, doesn't treat kids and doesn't treat kids with measles. So I think that some of what he said was the party line of what we, what our CDC and NIH and even HHS says is that we have to be hysterical about measles, when I don't think we need to be hysterical at all.
Yeah. Well, I didn't understand that either. And so I'm glad you kind of explained that for us, because I didn't understand what the hysteria was over this. And it's interesting to hear them pushing it. I mean, it's not what we expect from this administration. And I also want to get to this clip as well, in clip two, because Bernie Sanders on the Hill was asking the NIH director, Jay Pachauri, about vaccines and whether they cause autism or not. And it was an interesting back and forth. Take a listen to clip two.
There is deep mistrust. Do you think that deep mistrust now has something to do when you have an organization like the American Medical Association telling us that vaccines do not cause autism, but you have a secretary of HHS who says the very opposite? Do you think that causes concern and mistrust among parents?
You know, Senator, in 2024, there was a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that said that only about 40% of patients still trust their doctors. As someone who went to medical school myself, is absolutely shocking. And that's before Secretary Kennedy took office. Well, we have to address this mistrust, but it has to be a bipartisan effort.
Let me ask you a simple question. Tell the American people, I appreciate your thoughts on measles. Do vaccines cause autism? Tell that to the American people. Yes? No.
I do not believe that the measles vaccine causes autism.
No. I didn't ask measles. Do vaccines cause autism?
I have not seen a study that suggests any single vaccine causes autism.
Okay, thank you.
All right, what's your reaction to that? Because I know that there's been plenty of studies, and we have about 2 minutes left. I'll let you take the floor.
And the follow-up sentence that Jay Bhattacharya should have said was, there is no single study that proves vaccines cause autism. There is also no single study that proves it doesn't, because only isolated vaccines have been studied, and they've only been studied one at a time. The cumulative effect of children that primarily can get anywhere from 5 to 7 vaccines on one vaccination day, which we call a well baby visit, has never been studied. And so and when you look at the package inserts and you look at the side effects, and they talk about encephalitis, encephalopathy, well, what is that? That's inflammation of the brain. And encephalopathy means that there's inflammation that leads to dysfunction. What is autism? It is a dysfunction of the brain. And so there is a lot of evidence that shows that there are conditions that we need to be looking at more carefully. And we need to be listening to parents. Tens of thousands of parents across the country have experienced the changes in their children firsthand after a vaccine, any one of the vaccines, not just MMR, but it can be any one of them. And now that the autism rate has dropped to 1 in 31, I think that the public health departments across this country need to get a message that public health is much more than just high vaccination rates and low infection rates. Because what we have accomplished that with high vaccination rates, low infection rates, and what is the result? 76% of the children across this country are chronically ill. We have the worst epidemic of chronically ill children of any country in the world. And I think that we're not addressing the elephant that's sitting in the middle of the room, which is, what are vaccines doing to these kids? And what are vaccines doing to the health of these kids?
Yeah, well, that needs to be the main focus here. And I know, Dr. Tenpenny, that is yours. And we are incredibly grateful for you jumping on today to break this all down for us. So thank you for being here. Folks at home, if you want to give her a follow on X, it's @BusyDRT. Give her a follow. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you back on soon, Dr. Tenpenny.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in the next segment. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It is 52% off site-wide. It is our mega sale, and we've got it going on right now at the shop. Hoodies, hats, everything you want right now, 52% off. Just head on over to the shop. It's going to be over in a few days, so do it right now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. All right, earlier in the week, we had a guest at the program, and she was detailing an incredible report that had my jaw hitting the ground. We didn't have enough time to go over more details on all of this. Also, when she jumped off air with us, she called me, she FaceTimed me, she said, Brianna, you'll never guess what I just found. And she found more and more and more. I'm talking about, they like to call it, they're euthanizing those who are dealing with terminal illness. And so the government likes to make you feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside, like you're helping someone out. But the reality of it is, it's not the case. Kelsey Sheeran joins the program. She was hosting yesterday the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show, so she's had quite the busy schedule. And she's with us now. Honored to have you back on the program. I know that you have been digging into all of this. You found more information about how widespread this is all happening right now here in the United States. I mean, like I detailed earlier in the week when we had you on, we spoke maybe like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and you were talking about how it was going on in Canada. It was heading to the U.S. now. But you found more states where this movement is making its way into. So I'm going to let you have the floor from here on out. Tell us what you've just uncovered.
Well, thanks for having me back, guys. I know it has been a busy week. I'm sorry for all of those that are sick of my face and the death cult, but here Never. We go again. So the 14 jurisdictions that are available in America are ones I listed yesterday, but it bears going through them again so people can understand where to protect their loved ones. So they go, currently we have Maine, Hawaii, California, Colorado, Delaware, Illinois, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, Washington State, Washington, D.C. And as of a few weeks ago with the governor, Kathy Hochul, I believe is her last name, New York was added to that list. Now, the reason this is really important to pay attention to is because there is a pro-death cult organization. It is a nonprofit in America that is literally funded to the tune of $33 to $35 million a year. So these people are highly funded individuals, and they have put forward a plan to expand into America. And they stated in their most recent, I guess you call it like YouTube video that they were doing, bragging about all the people they've been able to get legalized to kill, was by 2028, half of the United States adult population will live where medical aid in dying is accessible, according to Compassion and Choices. That should literally rattle every single American, because they have not only put in plans, they have the funding to put in said plans. They've also hired the Rabin Group. And if you guys don't know anything about the Rabin Group, I promise you, I've been educating myself all week. And this is one of those political groups that has insane funding, crazy reach, and they work with all of the hard left leaning. So they represent the Obama Foundation. They represent the Bill Gates Foundation. They work with Disney. They work with all of the largest organizations, and they work with a lot of these very, you know, LGBT, Black Lives Matter type groups. And I say that like respectfully, that's just kind of who their specialty is. So they brought one of their individuals on to talk about and brag about the 18 states that they have planned to expand in 2026, which include key states such as Nevada, Virginia. Now, the bills that they have put forward are extensive. They've either rolled over from 2025, now into 2026. But there's a couple key locations they've targeted. Even they've said, even if we do not have bills, and they've targeted them specifically based on demographic and age. So those are Florida and Arizona. And I am sure, darling, you can imagine why Florida and Arizona are on the chopping block for the predominantly white, wealthy, and worried individuals, as my friend Alex Schadenberg says. So Florida itself has no bill currently, but they are looking and have stated that they have got boots on the ground in these more libertarian, conservative areas where they're trying to change the mindset. So they're taking the time to fund all of these tiny little organizations in Florida to go around and do what Dying with Dignity did in Canada, which is manipulate the population into believing they should kill themselves, and then manipulate the population into believing that there's no point in living because of their age. So Florida has no bill, but they are looking at pushing one forward here this year. Indiana is also on the list. That started in 2025 with Representative Matt Pierce. There's a House bill called 1011 on there. Arizona, again, on January 20th, 2026, HB 2569. Iowa, which I know is a battleground state for you guys, so I would hope this one would become an issue there where you guys can pay attention. Kentucky, Mass, Minnesota, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Virginia. And the crazy part that most people don't realize is that in America, certain states like Oregon and Vermont have no residency requirement, meaning you guys have death tourism now, just like Switzerland does in Dignitas. So people in America can hypothetically get up from Texas or anywhere else, and they can go to Oregon and Vermont and be killed by a doctor. So grab that one-way ticket and just head there. And I guess, like my friend Alex says, ashes don't really need a plane ticket to come back now, do they? As morbid as that sounds.
I know. And it's so heartbreaking when you talk about it, though, because, again, I mean, like, we don't normally think Florida is somewhere this they would be kind of like, you know, trying to push this in. But our elderly population is very significantly high in Florida. How do we save? I know a lot of people think this tends to happen in blue states, and that's how we opened earlier in the week. I truly thought it was blue states. How do we save these red states? Because so many of these individuals aren't talking about what's happening on the ground there. And I think this is going to catch people off guard. So how do we save those states at least?
Well, there's a couple things that can be done, right? So when we take a look at the states that have been euthanizing the population, so I use the word euthanizing because that's what Canada does, but you guys have been mating the population. So the difference, again, I know you've heard me repeat it. The difference is in Canada, we inject you like lethal injection with IVs, and then we push the poison. In America, we provide you a cup filled with the same poison, slightly different depending on, and we actually set it in front of you. And then we say, drink the poison in front of a doctor. Now, Now, the way that we stop this in America, and this may seem, I may be reaching here. I'm just a podcaster, love. RFK needs to get involved. Donald Trump needs to get involved in this very quickly. Because at this point, the states, the way you guys work in America versus Canada is your states actually have backbones. Your states actually stand up to the federal government. And that may be good or bad, but in this situation, you guys have the opportunity currently to stop this dead in its tracks. Whereas Canada's so far gone, we're currently expanding into the mentally ill in 2027. And then the parliamentary committee has already put reports with CAMMAP, Dying with Dignity, and other sick, like Sick Kids Children's Hospital, advocating that we should be expanding to children 0 to 1. And I also sent you guys some things on that where they discussed, you know, some of the College of Physicians in Quebec in 2022 and then reiterated again in August of 2025 that we should be able to euthanize children 0 to 1 if they're born with some malformality that is so difficult to live with and so troublesome to the parents. Now, children don't have informed consent. This is not something I believe is acceptable behavior. Abortion is one conversation. We don't have to go there right now. But if they can't get you an abortion, they're going to kill your kids other in any other way if there's an issue. So I personally know of children who were told they were going to be disabled and came out perfectly fine. So I can't even imagine having this conversation. Now, if we are not able to get the federal government's attention in America, you're going to have to go to the state level. And that means we have to have boots on the ground advocates. And that's good. And I think it's possible. But we need a concerted effort within the more conservative Republican side of things to step forward, whether that's through influencers, whether that's through other podcasters. We need to make so much noise in these states where they're talking about legislation that no one is paying attention to. Otherwise, RFK has to step in. Donald Trump has to step in and say, I get it. They want to put the PECHA bill back forward, but we can't do it because they're changing the language around that. And if you allow that bill to go forward, actually, even though it's for palliative care and end of life, you have to understand the Rabin Group, as well as Compassion and Choices, are currently working to change the language amongst the American population to call MAID end of life care. So it will actually get funded, even though Bill Clinton in 97 put this bill forward and said no federal funding for assisted death, but this is how you get the loophole. So there aren't really safeguards here. So I'm doing my own investigative work right now where I've actually called Compassion and Choices. I've got some audio recordings going to come out in the next few weeks where I'm basically showing how easy it is to break through these loopholes. And in America, you only have what's called track one, which means you have to be terminally ill, only 6 months left to die. You have to be qualified by two doctors, all of these things. Canada had the same stuff. And now we just killed the kid who was 26 with diabetes and depression. So there is a slippery slope, but we do need intervention. I'm up against what I would consider, at least in Canada, based on the healthcare system. And, you know, America's going to dwarf Canada's death numbers. We just are about to hit 100,000 deaths since 2016, which saves already, as the laws are written, over $117 billion in not providing healthcare. And so America is going to be, if this spreads the way it looks like it's spreading, this is going to save your government so much money. The incentive is not something one or two or even five of us can stop. I need meetings. I need conversations. I need to be in front of these senators. I need to be in front of these people. And I hate to admit it, but I need to be in front of your president to get him to understand what's about to happen. Because not only do these states look like they are going to pass these bills, you also have states that refuse to report the amount of deaths and the amount of prescription drugs that they are giving. Now, those drugs are non-FDA approved for killing. The majority of your states that used to have the death penalty stopped it because they believed the death penalty was cruel and unusual punishment. And then they replaced it with MAID. It's the same drugs, same protocol. It is the same way you die. It is not painless. We have a postmortem autopsy by Dr. Joel Zivit out of Emory State University, who's a Canadian who moved down to America. He specializes in critical care and anesthesiology. He did the first postmortem autopsy. And out of those people who were lethal injection patients, they showed 80% had heavy lungs, which is indicative of drowning to death or death by waterboarding. He said this at the Canadian Senate in 2021, and Canada told him to politely shut up. So these drugs are not peaceful. This is not a peaceful process. I understand dementia and Alzheimer's are an aggressively hard thing to watch someone you love go through, or cancers. But I promise you, these drugs are not peaceful, and they will not help somebody leave in a manner that you want to witness.
Yeah. And that's the part that's so devastating here. And I want to kind of hover over what's going on in Canada right now. I know you just talked about it, but specifically the children element to all of this. I know for our audience sake right now, when you hear that they're trying to put children down over possible disabilities that they might have, I mean, that tears at your heartstrings because they're children. How does this even happen in Canada? I mean, that's what has me so infuriated right now. How are they even able to tell Canadians that this is a sensible idea that they need to expand on and start participating in? This doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even understand how Canadians are okay with this.
Well, I think you guys have to understand the political landscape in Canada is a lot different than what the media shows you, right? So you have the very paid for liberal media, CBC, CTV, Global News, National Post, all of these. And these are all paid for on an actual payroll by the Liberal government, have been for 10 years. It's a known. This isn't conspiracy. They show the paychecks to a tune of $1 billion a year. And these groups have infiltrated our government. So Dying with Dignity in 1999 started lobbying the government. You have to understand how far back this goes. The Trudeau, original Trudeau, like the first one, he, in his own foundational reports, discussed assisted dying as something that Canada should be doing and mimicking Denmark and Switzerland. And, you know, I have to remember, over in Europe, they already euthanize children. So this is not a jump. This is not a leap. But now Canada is falling into the same trap, just like any other Commonwealth nation is. Australia does this. New Zealand does this. The UK looks like they have a bill going forward, but hopefully it will be stopped. And what happened to Canada over the past 10 years that people don't fully grasp, unless you're in the country, is that Canada fell to a tyrannistic monster named Justin Trudeau, who lied and lied and lied. And then when COVID happened, he broke the Canadian psyche in such a manner that he was boot stomping women and kids and grandmothers during a protest, and now we've won in court, in the Supreme Court, saying that what he did was unconstitutional. Yet he's still walking around dating Katy Perry, flying around on jets, and nothing's happening to these people. We just gave $2.5 billion to one of the most corrupt governments in the world in Ukraine. We just gave another $375 million between 2021 and 2025 to the freaking Taliban. So this government has broken its society and told us through our own banks, lower your quality of life. That is the only way you're about to get through. Canada is crashing into a recession. Canada has literally taken the minds of the hardworking Canadian-born citizens and said, you know what? We're not going to provide you guys good health care anymore. Over 20,000 of you are going to die per year on a waiting list. 1.2 million left ERs last year because people couldn't get seen. Kids are dying. And they're saying to us that we're all delusional. And then we're wondering why now Canadians are choosing to end their lives. 96. America was 95, but 96% of Canadians that are using MAID and being coerced into MAID. And we have proof of coercion. You guys can read on my Substack or on the Kelsey Sharon Perspective YouTube. We have proof of coercion where 96% of those people are white and we are being replaced by other nations. Over 1.2 million immigrants have been brought in since last year into Ontario, and they've just removed the voter requirement in Ontario alone. So not even permanent citizens, they get the option to vote now. So this feels like the Biden era for us. And now we have Mark Carney, who has broken our economy, broken our minds, broken our healthcare system, and then said, you know what? The only solution we have to offer is death. And people are taking it because they're so sad, so desperate. And this is not my just words. We have people on record who are disabled, friends of mine who were offered. We have homeless. We have our veterans. And these are not small things. You already had Compassion and Choices, like I said, when I was hosting the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Compassion and Choices stated that they want the PETCHA bill to go forward so they can increase visibility on places like Veterans Affairs America. So if you think this starts and it just stays at the terminally ill and your grandmother, I promise you that was supposed to be us in 2016. And then they amended in 2021 and now they're amending in 2027. So where do you think this goes? This is eugenics, my friends, and it is not small and it is not stopping.
Yeah, well, that's the part that's really concerning about all of this. And folks, right now, head on over. If you have YouTube, give her a follow. The Kelsey Sharon Perspective is where you're going to want to do just that. Kelsey, I appreciate you jumping on with us and breaking this all down for us because we ran out of time last time. I was like, no, okay. I got more questions. So it's a pleasure to have you back on. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you guys for being so willing to listen to such a dark subject, because I believe we can actually stop this in America. And this is why I'm putting so much intention into your country. So please call your senators, call your representatives, call whoever you can and tell them, please just stay with us, because this is not an option to end your life.
Yeah, this is not an option. And we're thankful for you jumping into this fight and voicing your concern. So thank you, folks. I know we talked about, well, we teased this briefly on X. So I want to make sure we get to the story. It's in regards to a Goldman Sachs chief legal officer and general counsel. This is one of their lead attorneys. Now, she was wrapped up into the Epstein files. Kathy Rumbler is her name. She has just announced her resignation from the group, the company, Goldman Sachs, obviously. Apparently, she's wrapped up into these Epstein files, and she's very close, according to a lot of these reports, with the convicted, keyword here, sex offender, including friendly emails with XOXO. And she apparently was the recipient of lavish gifts, such as Hermes handbags, cost roughly a little over $9,000. So she's bowing out. Goldman Sachs thanked her for her service and took her resignation. And they're pretending like everything's A-OK. Yeah, well, listen, folks, I think these Epstein files are going to get worse and worse and worse as more digging is done into all of this. But I mean, the fact that these people were so comfortable communicating with an actual pedophile is just mind blowing to me. Although they'll pretend like, oh, we weren't a part of any of the craziness that was going on Epstein Islands, but we were just sending emails, XOXO, to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, he's a convicted sex offender. More needs to be done. These people need to be shamed, publicly shamed. There's no justification for going along and working and trying to do business deals. Again, we talked about Bill Gates earlier. What the heck are you doing sending emails to this man? It's an absolute, absolute disgrace. Let's shift gears a little bit. I saw this picture and it got me like grossed out. The governor of Virginia now, Governor Abigail Spanberg, is out there cooking. And I don't know if she's cooking this for Somalians, because she's definitely not cooking this for Americans. It literally looks like rat meat. And I zoomed in on one of them. I think there's a bone on there. Folks, I am a carnivore. And so I know a good steak when I see one. That's not steak. That might be your house cat. There's definitely something there. It looks like crap. If you're listening audio only, let me explain this to you. This kind of looks like it's red meat. Very thin. Doesn't look good. Looks very unseasoned. There's one of them when you zoom in on the far right side, and it's like, looks like there's a bone on it almost, but it's on top of it. If you didn't think Chuck Schumer could be out, let's just say, outdone with putting a piece of cheese on a raw hamburger patty that has not even on one side touched the grill. I mean, Democrats, when they do this fake nonsense, when they pretend like we're one of you, look at us cooking. Oh, man. All right, I like this one. This is Chuck Schumer working at McDonald's. He can't do it like President Trump can, though. Folks, it's an absolute disgrace, these people. They can't even do photo ops properly. But that's the left for you. That's the left. No surprise there. Good news. It's actually turning into my favorite fast food place. And I don't eat fast food often. But the fast food chain Steak and Shake is banning all microwaves from its restaurants. And this is actually another step toward becoming a little bit of a healthier fast food chain. Now, as many of you guys know, they ditched the seed oils. They were very public about doing that. And they've now moved over to beef tallow. Now, a lot of this is a disclaimer. I haven't seen the update on it, but a lot of people were accusing the company of pre-cooking the fries in seed oils and then bringing it to the restaurant and cooking in beef tallow, which obviously is just a negative. There's no benefit to that. But I think it was really interesting that now they're also banning the microwaves. Okay, so I worked at Applebee's, and this might not be happening at all Applebee's. They are franchise owned, but the one that I was working at, we used to joke and say the head chef was the microwave, which is pretty gross when you think about it. But I loved working there. We got like, okay, so one of my favorite things to do was to try all the food. It was a nightmare of a job, but the lead chef at Applebee's, and I was a hostess at first, and I became a waitress after. It was my very first restaurant job. And go to hear a crazy story. There was a crazy man. We called him Patchy. Now we've got some time, downtime. Let's just go off the hinges here. When I worked at Applebee's, there was a man named Patchy, and he was very sketchy of a guy. And we all knew that he lost his eye because he had a patch on his eye. That's how he got his nickname in prison. So Patchy was working. He was the grill master. And I never spoke to Patchy, never wanted to take him off because I knew Patchy was on his, he was not doing too good. Patchy had a drug addiction that he was battling. And unfortunately for Patchy, we were working one day. It was a holiday. It might have been New Year's. But we were all working one day. And all of a sudden, a group of people came in. They went after Patchy. They were trying to find him in the back. They dragged him out to the front. They threw him in a car, a trunk specifically. And they tried driving off before police got there. We found out that Patchy had actually just killed someone. And that was the family coming to get Patchy. So that was what it was like working for Applebee's. You guys are learning a lot of stories about me between my days at Target. I mean, I hustled. I don't know if I should disclose it. It was on Long Island. If you look up a guy who worked at Applebee's who was murdered or who murdered someone, I mean, I think Patchy was convicted of this. Yeah. Patchy was the kind of guy you don't mess with, right? Because the nickname Patchy, with the guy with the patch over his eye who tells you he lost his eye in a prison fight, you don't really push back much on those type of people. So I don't even think I told my parents that story. I've worked at a lot of restaurants. I've worked at a lot of Target, as I disclosed to you before. I also worked at a pizzeria that's no longer in business called Lucarelli's that was in Commack, New York. That one was also a little sketchy. I would argue with the owner of Lucarelli's about getting my dollar raise. There you go. That's me in Target. Might be AI generated. Who knows? But I would argue with the owner of Lucarelli's for an extra dollar raise. I was paid $6 an hour off the books. And my mom would joke and tell you that I argued like nonstop for an extra dollar an hour after working there for a year. And the owner of Lucarelli's, Mike Lucarelli, literally was just like, done. All right, just take it and go. And then a couple of years later, they went out of business. I think it was the landlord who didn't want to renew the lease because the pizza was actually really good. But my mom will tell you, if you ask her, that because I asked for that extra dollar raise, that I was the one that got Lucarelli shut down because they couldn't afford to pay me that extra dollar, which was a lie because they were making good money. I know, I was running the register. All right, that's too much information about me for today. Thanks for jumping on to the American Journal with us, guys. The Alex Jones Show is starting up next. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. It is 52% off site-wide. That sale's not going to last forever, and it's one of our top sales. So you got to head on over to the shop, the alexjonesstore.com right now, and jump in on this sale before it's too late. Have a great weekend. I'll catch you here on Monday.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.